Hi, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And before I go any further, if you're listening to this as an audio, then let me tell you that the notes for this message are available on my website. Not only the notes, but the video itself, and of course the MP3 audio file, all of which you can download for free. So my website is www.pastorvic.com. Now, we've been talking about the discipleship pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ has left us to follow. I said in my last message that Jesus tells us what to do, then he shows us what to do, and then he finally sends us out to do it. So he tells us first, he shows us, and then he sends us. Now, the first thing that we need to recognize is that Jesus tells us in John chapter 3 that we must be born again. That is, to accept the salvation he offers as a free gift. Now, what's important to understand is that not only is there an eternal benefit in accepting the gift of salvation, but there is an earthly benefit in that we receive the Holy Spirit at the same time. Now, he offers all of this as a free gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says the following, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So clearly, this gift of grace is not something that you can work for. It's not something that you earn, or not even something that you deserve, but it's something that is freely given, and we must freely receive it. Now, what's wonderful about this gift is that there's not only a Jesus coming in to live inside of us, but it's his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And so Jesus did this at the baptism by John the Baptist. We talked about this last time. The Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and it filled him. As believers, we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The second important thing that Jesus tells us, we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And he says that we shall receive power to be witnesses to him. To be a witness is to speak and act upon what Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is doing in our lives. You see, a witness can only attest to what he has seen, heard, or he knows as fact. It has to be your experience. Now, Jesus experienced this empowering of the Holy Spirit while he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. The scriptures say that Jesus came out of the wilderness in power to do ministry. As believers, we receive that empowerment to do ministry when we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The gospel writer, Luke, calls this the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And so first, we're filled with the Holy Spirit by virtue of our salvation experience. And then there's a second experience where we decide that we are going to sell out to the Holy Spirit. We're going to go all in to the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit. Salvation and receiving the Holy Spirit is about believing in Jesus Christ. But empowerment by the Holy Spirit is about believing in the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The final step in this discipleship process is to recognize that you have a mission. And then to say or to do in the name of the Lord that which the Holy Spirit shows you to do. Just as Jesus said, "I only do what my Father shows me," or "I only do what my Father tells me to say." In the same way, we have to learn how to rely on the Holy Spirit to direct our path. And that's the subject of today's message, the mission. Now, many Christians go through life wondering what they're called to instead of learning how to fulfill the single mission all believers have in common. The what we are called to is the universal call to all believers. And that is the Great Commission. And as disciples of Christ, we are commanded to make Jesus known. That is the Great Commission. There should be no doubt about that for any believer, and it's universal. We all have that same mission. Now, what's challenging in terms of purpose is to try and figure out how we're to fulfill that call. And it can happen in a number of different ways. God has given, I should say, God, Jesus, has given us the gifts to the church. Now, we often call this the fivefold ministries. The fivefold ministries of the apostles, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And these are all described in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And I'd encourage you to take a look at that and to study that, because it makes it very clear that the church, now when I use the word church, I'm not talking about a denomination, I'm not talking about a building, I am talking about what is known as the body of Christ, that body of born-again believers. And so God has given gifts to the church, and some are called to be those things. Some are called to be apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers. But then others, not only are they maybe called to that, but others are called to be ambassadors of Christ. And we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, what is often referred to as the motivational gifts. And the motivational gifts that are described there are the gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry, the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of leading, and the gift of mercy. And again, you'll find that in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And then some are called to, well, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are described in Galatians 5, 22 through verses 23. Now again, what are the gifts or the fruit of the Holy Spirit? These are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We need to let the Holy Spirit out. And when we let the Holy Spirit out, people will see that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then we also have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we also have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are described in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. And those gifts are word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and that's plural, the gift of healings, not just healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, the discerning of spirits, the gift of tongues, and of course, the gifts of interpretation of tongues. And so, as you can see, there are many ways, as I've just described, that we can manifest and be an example and allow people to see Jesus Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, as we'll see, the commission is easy to know when you look at Jesus' mission statement. Yes, he had a mission statement. Jesus was told very clearly what he was all about. You don't get to choose your calling, but Jesus calls you to partner with him through the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk now about the reception of the mission or the purpose that Jesus was called to. And if we understand what he was called to, then we'll be able to understand what we're called to, because we are called to cooperate, to be a part of what Jesus is doing on the earth today. Now, first, let me say there's a general statement of Jesus' purpose or mission, and we find that in 1 John 3:8. And in 1 John 3:8, we're really more interested in the second part, but let me read the entire verse. It says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Now, here we go. This is the part that's important to us for this message. "For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. Destroy the works of the devil. Now, we find a more detailed statement of purpose in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. when Jesus came out of the wilderness, it says that he was empowered by the Spirit. And then he says very clearly, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And that statement by itself is something that we need to, as believers, grab a hold of. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you because he has anointed you. And then it goes on, Jesus goes on to say, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now let's break that down a little bit. Now again, the first part is so important. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he has anointed you for the work that he's called you to. Now, any work that you do in the name of the Lord must be a result of the Spirit of the Lord directing you and in the authority and the power of the Spirit. You see, so many believers in their desire to please the Lord try to accomplish in their own strength what only the Holy Spirit can do. The anointing is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't confuse anointing with style or performance or with mannerisms. When you're operating in the anointing, supernatural power is taking place. Now, let's continue with the rest of Luke chapter 4. And what do these six statements of his intent mean? And how was he to do all of this? Now, first we have to recognize that Jesus has a double meaning in each of these six statements. One is spiritual, and the second is physical. In each case, Jesus was speaking in spiritual terms. But to prove that he had the authority and the power of God to touch these spiritual needs, he also demonstrated his ability to bring physical and emotional and spiritual healing to those who heard and believed in his message. So let's look at statement number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. The word gospel means good news. In the original Greek, it's the word evangelizo. And so that's where we get the word evangelism. And the good news is that the kingdom of God is present and available to all who would put their trust and faith and Jesus Christ and him alone. The poor are those who are spiritually impoverished, as well as those who are in physical lack or physical need. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to bring hope, healing, and wholeness to those who have been broken or crushed by their choices in life or by the circumstances in life that they had no control over. Then Jesus goes on to say, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And that liberty is to those who are in spiritual bondage to the devil as a result of worshiping the creation rather than worshiping the Creator. Recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus came to give sight to those who are spiritually blinded by legalistic religion, observance of the law rather than observance of the spirit of the law. Then Jesus went on to say, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Another word for oppressed is those that are downtrodden. And in many places in the world, throughout the world, there are those who seem to find themselves being stepped on, those that are taken advantage of, those that are powerless. And Jesus came to set at liberty all of those people who find themselves in that situation. And then Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, all debts are canceled. This is a prophecy of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And it describes the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon. And that's where the term of the year of the Jubilee comes in. But it's also a fulfillment of the awaiting of the coming of the Messianic age. Jesus boldly proclaimed to be the promised Messiah. And he defined, and his defined ministry here is the ongoing essence of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke makes it clear that he passed this same ministry on to his disciples. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's exciting. And this was the message that Jesus gave to his disciples. Are we not disciples of Christ? The ministry is given to the entire church in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and verse 8. And it says, and I'm going to pick up actually with verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And then verse 8 says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the baptism. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus did all of this through the Holy Spirit, by which he was anointed. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. How can we, listen to me, my brothers and my sisters, how can we expect to do any less than to learn how to trust the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is in us? I just want to encourage you in this season. I know it's a difficult time. The year 2020 is a year that not many of us will forget, but it's coming to an end. Let us believe for greater things in the coming year. Let us believe for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of revival. And let us believe that we will have a part in it, that God will use us to fulfill his mission in us and through us to this world. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.